So, I have Jean Grey here. I looked it up. We did this like 11 months ago. Yeah. I had you on. Yeah.
Nice little anniversary.
So, it's like a little bit of an anniversary, yeah.
Cool.
I mean, how do you feel you've been doing with comedy?
I mean,
in that time period.
Pretty good. Like a lot. I think I've improved a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy. Whenever I see new comics now, I'm a lot more patient because I just realize, oh, they don't have an act yet.
Yeah.
You know, you'll just have an act in like 6 months and then...
Yeah, they're finding their voice or whatever.
They'll just find whatever.
Yep.
Because when you get up there, it's just that, like, that thing of you want to... You know you're funny, you just want to express it in a way, improve it. So yep. There's that period where you're like, okay. You kind of have to prove to yourself that you are correct and that you're funny. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, and it seems like you've really been able to carve out a nice little act. Like, you have, you know, your stuff that you talk about. You're both very, like, you talk about personal stuff, and then you do a lot of roasting stuff now, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah. How did that sort of come about?
I mean, it's your old roommate, VJ, was always really good, like, off the top.
Oh, yeah.
He's and I just so saw good. Him, he's just able to roast anyone at any time.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, I want to do that, so
yeah.
I'm just kind of really focused on it, and... Plus, it's a good, like, exercise for me, like, because I end up writing, like, for an hour at every mic.
And you can write on the spot, you know, because people will just give you those ideas, because, you know, when you can critique people well, it's like, okay, just observing. And the thing that I like, from, like, kind of a sick sort of twisted way, is I love when there's, like, newer comics, or people who will just do it once, you know, just as, like, a thing to do.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, absolutely terrible. And you'll just kind of, like... zone in on them in a way that is just so hilarious and, like, picture perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, someone's got to tell them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Plus, if they can't handle it, they're not going to make it.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think especially with certain mics, like, the thing that gets tough with performing at them, especially with, like, a place like the Co-op, is it gets very communal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know each other too well to put on our performing voice.
Yep.
So that can be really hard. But I think if you find that sweet spot with the co-op of, like, conversational but still working out your stuff, because people still want to hear that. So they still want to hear the joke,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it can get, like, a lot of people, a few people can get, you know, stuck in that where it's like, oh, you just feel like you're just talking. And it's like, no, I've got to work stuff out.
Yeah.
So have you been going to a lot more mics and stuff?
Since January, yeah, I've been trying to, because for a while there, I was only really doing, like, one or two mics a week, but yeah, this time I'm trying to go to Seawarn. I'm going up to,
that's great.
The dojo today. They're doing some sort of contest.
So. Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done the dojo yet. I really want to.
Yeah, it's, like, far, far away.
Yeah, it's far. Yeah.
It's far from me. You're, you know, like, an hour and a half away from there.
It's just so much harder now with not having, like, I used to have, like, a system of, like, comics I used to hang with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, that's the one thing that I would just say. I know you've been wanting to get on shows and stuff, and that's been incredibly hard for me the entire time I've done comedy.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's just you got to get to places, and, like, I like to be authentic, so, like, I usually get along pretty well with everyone, but I'm not going to, like, mingle in a way that's fake.
Yeah.
So that's tough for me, because some people can do that really well. And it's just, like, not a shot at them that's anything bad. It's, you know, it's the game, you know? You got to be, like, able to sort of be that way socially.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a fucking weirdo, and also I'm completely sober, so...
Right, yeah.
I can't go outside to smoke. I'll just stand there looking weird.
Right.
I can't stay at the bar and drink, because I don't do that.
Right, yeah. It's all... Like, that's the hardest part with it. And then the good thing to know that I wish I knew more... And I always have to remember this, is the grass is always greener when it comes to shows.
Yeah.
Like, you'll talk to people and you'll be like, and they'll be like, oh, that show was terrible. The audience was not good. We didn't get paid. It's like, there's always other sides to it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm just like, if I can, the way that I've sort of worked it out is, as long as you show up, like, a certain amount of times, and you're, like, authentically there, and you're listening and paying attention, and you're, you know, being friendly with the comedians that are running it, and you're, like, actually, like, legit friends, they'll put you on. Eventually they will.
Yeah.
Because they also see you, you know, everywhere, and people will, good people, that are running things will take notice. Mm. They'll be like, okay, this person had a good set here. They'll work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be no time that you'll be doing stuff.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, yeah. I got PJ show. I got...
Oh, that's great.
Kyle said he'll put me on something. Yeah, a bunch of people I've been reaching out to. So.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I have such a hard time. I never ask. And it's like, I'll just show up. And I'm like, if they give me a spot, that's my thing of like, if I'll do that.
Mm.
But yeah, it can be tough going to all these different mics. Have you been to Caitlin's mic?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I've been trying to get back there. That's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that still, like, is there more comics going to that? Or is it an equal amount of, like, audience still? Or, because I know it was getting to be more comics than audience last time I was there.
Yeah, it feels like that, yeah. There was a show there that was great. But, yeah, it's just comics now, I think. Plus, yeah. It's once a month, so.
Right.
And it's on the same, it's on Wednesday, which is the worst day. There's, like, 7 months.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the up and downside of everything now. There's so much more mics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just want to get out there. And, you know, life gets in the way of everything. And that's a tough thing. It's like, you kind of want to be your comedian self all the time. And you can't really do that with life sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really seems like you've been putting the work in and doing as much as you can. How often... Like, you mentioned writing, like, how does that work for you? How do you do, what's your sort of strategy with that?
Well, I mean, I try to either write topical jokes that are just my own material, or right. When I'm roasting people, I just either listen to their set, hear some sort of mistake they make and
right.
anything, or I just, like, look at them and, you know.
Right. That stare is, you know, it's so funny. I've gone back and forth of, like, I'm like, I should go. I'm like, when I'm signing up, I'm like, should I sign up? Like, I kind of get, like, nervous that you're going to make fun of my stuff. And I'm like, should I sign up before him and after him? And I'm like, it'll make... And I always have to yell at myself, it'll make you a better comic if you do it before him.
Yeah, I've heard that before. It makes me proud a little bit.
Because it's like, you don't want to be a coward. I'm like, oh, I don't see my stuff, but, you know... That's a tough thing. Like, do you have a specific, like, time that you like to sort of go up? Do you like to go on earlier or sort of later?
Yeah, I mean, if I do, because I feel like I need to talk about everyone.
Right.
But if I go up, like, 15th, I don't have enough time to test out my own material.
Right.
So it's just roasting people.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I want to get put on shows, I mean, I guess I could stand behind the curtain and, like, do the same thing for a bunch of audience members, but I feel like that would be, I don't know, disingenuous, because, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think it's always finding that sweet spot of, like, seeing where it turns, like, sometimes a mic can feel like a mic, and then sometimes there's enough audience, or just enough comics, it can feel like a show, kind mm-hmm. of, and it's just, like, once you get into that sweet spot of, like, a couple comedians have gone up, especially new ones, that's when you're able to, you know, really... show what you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know, you'll be in the middle of people. I can see that. Because crafting a set is so, like, tough once you know how to do it. Because it can be so fun. You're like, okay, I want to do this. And then you realize, oh, shit, I'm out of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are like, hard to roast.
Who was the hardest?
Oh, man. I mean, probably Dan Farley.
I was going to say that. I would think Farley, too. He was someone who, like, I would, when I was starting out going there, I would always hate following him.
Yeah.
I was, like, 2 years in, I was like, this is not going to be. Following him was really hard, and following Tim Lowe was hard. Those two are just fantastic. And they're good starters. Like, they're good at starting first and just setting the tempo and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's really cool. So you've also been coming to Nevin Talk also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been really cool to see you.
Yeah, I mean, I have opinions about poetry.
Oh, yeah, we all.
But, you know, yeah, it's Liam's mic now. It's kind of shit yesterday, but, you know, whatever, I was there.
Did my
thing. And yeah, it's a lot of people come out to that mic, which is fun. There were like 25 people on the list yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I think what's good now is we're kind of getting back to comics being being on it. It sort of was equal, and then it was, you know, more poets than others. And the poets, some of them I really like and I get along with. But for the most part, they don't really come unless there's like unless it's the showcases.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like the regular mic, which I usually am trying to go to now more, when right. Liam just has the regular, you know, just no features beforehand, that's when usually a lot of people show up.
Yep.
That are just comedians that are just like, we can... Oh, because there have been a few weeks where it's just like, oh. And also the just general patrons not paying attention and, you know, having their own world.
Oh, yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminds me of RTB. They just like sit at the bar.
Yeah.
Don't even
Raise the Bar has always been... Like, I love Elzer, but it's the least... One of my least favorite mics.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, there's no place to... Well, usually now there's no place to perform. Like, they had a little stage a couple of years ago. But now it's just, like, oh, you're just, like, standing there trying to get people to... And I'm not good at getting people's attention as I should be. I'm like, I either get too, like... I don't know. I think it's... That's the thing I've been going over with comedy now. Is, like, if you're being conversational or, like, performing. So that, like, mix is hard to do. Especially there. But their food there is really good.
Yeah, it is. Shout out to
yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah, he's great. So, you've been seeing Vijay around a lot?
No.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
I saw him at Sea Warren, like, a month ago. That's about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time. But, yeah, he's still, I think he's doing a lot of stuff in Philly still, so that's always just what he does. That's the thing with comedy now, so, like, crazy is everyone's going to New York and Philly, and it's, like, really getting out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got to get to that point, too, so.
Yeah. It's all just scheduling and finding people that you can just do stuff with and get in the groove of. Yeah. That's all it is. We talked about last time, you mentioned doing, like, voice acting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any more into that?
No, not at all. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, people have been telling me my whole life, like, you should be on the radio or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know. Haven't tried it yet. I should, because that'd be great if I could just have that as a primary source of income.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just do voiceover work, but... I don't know where to start or who to talk to or how to apply for these jobs or anything like that. Is there a union for voice actors? I don't know.
Right, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's just interesting to find things that you can do. Have you been, like, working on any other type of, like, creative things or besides stand-up?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I started playing the guitar. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, about, 7 months ago now, so. Yeah, like half a year I've been doing that.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty fun.
And yeah.
I kind of want to try to do a little bit of, like, AJ Ellis type, AJ? Is that his name?
Yeah, AJ, yeah.
Yeah.
Sherman?
AJ Sherman. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, his kind of comedy music thing. That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
For sure, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. That's really cool that you're doing that. You're getting into it. What kind of musicians do you like?
I mean, I'm a giant metalhead, so.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah, and I have an acoustic guitar. I haven't even bought an electric one yet. So I still got a couple steps to go before I feel like I can actually enjoy playing the thing. But, yeah, it's fun. I've just been doing, like a lot of popular stuff. I can do, what's it called? Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd. I can do just a bunch of little songs like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool to just delve into something new and, you know, find something that you can do. Getting back to comedy, like, you do really well with you just mentioned it earlier, the topical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so envious of that. Like, are you really, like, in touch with the news a lot? Do you really keep up with whatever, like, you sort of want to talk about?
Yeah, that, I mean, I just go on Reddit every day, so that's where it comes from.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't read the news. That's
right.
If something important happens, I'll hear about it. Like, that or it's like big stuff. Like, you know, we had Valentine's Day, we had the Super Bowl, it's Black History Month, yesterday was President's Day.
Right.
So, you know, every day there's something.
Did you have a lot of President's Day jokes?
Oh, no, not at all. I had Valentine's Day stuff left over. But.
Yeah, because you've been very open more about your, like, romantic personal life and everything with that.
Yeah.
Do you feel that's gotten, like, a good response?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I don't think so. Not really. I mean, it did. I mean, these are old jokes at this point. I haven't been in a relationship in, well, like, 6 months now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, got a lot of mileage out of those jokes, and I feel like I could add to it a lot, but it's just very specific.
Right. It is very
type of comedy where you can talk about sex like that and, you know, relationships at all. Otherwise, it's kind of hacky, I think.
No, I think it's the way that you do it. It's kind of like, it's just, it's very well done, because that can be, I can imagine that can be pretty, you know, personal to talk about for some people. You know, it definitely is. So. Yeah. To be able to reach that point where you can talk about it and sort of the oddities and everything inside.
That point is just not having shame.
Right.
That's all it takes.
Of course, yeah. It's like, I really liked the joke you did about tying your partner up and the ropes and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. I was just like, that is so...
Yeah, it's a legitimate argument I had at a sex shop. That's... Yeah, I'm like, I'm not paying $100 for this bullshit. Like, we can go to Home Depot.
It's just the visualization of, like, going to Home Depot.
Yeah.
Putting that situation in there. And, yeah, it's always cool just to put yourself in those, like, just building a world around your jokes is so fun. That's the one thing I had to learn to do, was just, like, you can make it, like, whatever you want. You know, there's a real freedom in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's... Early on, I thought that you had to tell the truth.
Oh, yeah.
At all times. And you absolutely don't.
No. People, you know, it's so funny how people will, like, there are things that I will say that people will think is, like, real, and it's not real, and then there are things that say that are real, people won't think are real. And it could be hard. It could be, like, you know, I'll just say something that I think is, like, obviously a joke, and then people will take it seriously. Like, I had this bit about, urgent care, how you don't have to pay them.
Yeah.
And people take that joke so seriously sometimes. I'm just like, well, obviously that's absurd.
Yeah.
But it is a funny thing to think about, of like, oh, I'm just leaving. No. It's just taking those things and like making them. Have you been watching a lot? Do you still watch a lot of comedy?
Yeah, I've been trying to do that a lot more. Kind of feels like homework, but.
Oh, right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just watch Taylor Tomlinson's.
I want to watch that. I have that in mind to watch.
It's all right. Yeah, she's just funny.
Yeah, I'm a big Pete Holmes fan, and she always reminds me of like a female version of him a little bit. So I'm like, I like her, and yeah, she's fantastic. Was there anyone who you watched? This is a question that I ask, because for me, this was Marie Bamford. Was there anyone that you watched at first who you didn't appreciate or like that? Your opinion changed on after you started doing comedy?
Oh, man. I'm not sure. I feel like everyone, like, even the big comedians that people make fun of, you know, you got, what's his name, Dave something.
Dave Chappelle.
No, not Dave Chappelle.
Dane
Cook.
Dane Cook.
Yeah. Like, Dane Cook, people make fun of Tosh because he's an arrogant prick, but I'm like, those guys are, like, they're funny. They have acts. They're continually.
Oh, working. Yeah. Tosh is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's one of my influences. And it's like just the way that he can delve into a topic and really get stuff out of it. Yeah. To me, it's always I have such a weird sense of humor that, like, I always wish I was better at the stuff that you and Vijay can do with the news type of stuff and that sort of, you know, the local stuff with that. I'm always like, I have this personal rule of if it's done by the late night hosts, I don't want to touch it. It's like, you know, because I always feel like, well, the writer's room is probably going to come up with whatever couple jokes I'm going to come up with. Yeah. So that's a tough thing. And I always, I always give people a lot of credit with that. I noticed your nails, you mentioned on Instagram where your nails broke.
Yeah, this shit is awful. Like, I'm never making fun of women for this again. Like you see this thumb? This is months of growth. Like, months I spent growing this thing, and now it's dead. Uh-huh. Like, I don't have a uterus, but I'm pretty sure this is what having a miscarriage feels like. I'm, like, asking myself all these questions. I'm like, God, am I, like, not supposed to have nails? Is it my fault? Should I try it again? Is it just going to break again? It's awful.
Well, at least you have something. That's really hilarious.
I can pick my nose again, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Because for a while, I was just be shoving these claws in there, which is not a great idea. I'm just like, ow, there's so much blood.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's always, like, interesting how you find little things that you just do during the day, and you're like, oh, yeah, I should probably talk about this or mention this.
Yep.
Or, like, I'm always trying to get more comfortable with that. It's just getting things into it. I was really surprised by my set on Sunday, and I was so mad that I didn't tape it. I was like, because I didn't think it was going to go well at all.
Yeah, you did pretty good.
But it's like, just like, I've been talking a lot more about my autism and stuff, and been trying to do more new stuff, because my bad habit is that I always, like, kind of coast on having so much material from the 7 and 8 years that I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got to keep on writing more shit. Because it's hard to be, for other comics to sit through, you know, just comedian friends of mine, they just see me do the same stuff all the time. It's mm-hmm. like, I need to get on this.
Oh, yeah.
So going into a new thing like that is always, you know, going to talk about, and you talk about mental health a bit in your comedy.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever reached out to you about that, like helping them or anything, or anything?
Helping them, no, but a bunch of people in the comedy scene, you know, they've told me, like, if you ever need, you can talk to me about anything. That feels nice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I feel like most of us have stuff, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's cool because comedy is so great that you can explore, like, yourself mm-hmm. as much as you explore the outside world and come up with jokes.
Yep.
You're like, oh, this is a thing about me that I didn't know. And you're sort of, like, carving this, like, kind of caricature of yourself in a way. And that can be really interesting mm-hmm. in how you do your comedy.
Yeah. Definitely is fun. I don't know if I found my voice yet. It's been like 2.5 years.
But yeah, I think with yours, I would just say it's like, you remain, like, it's the perfect mix to me of, you know, conversational and personal. Mm-hmm. Is that's what I feel like stand-up, like, should be. Like, I think you and Caitlin are the two, like, top tier of, like, that. Like, everything she says is not only funny, but I'm like, I can relate to that so much.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, like, you kind of get to see people, you kind of get to show people, like, the sitcom version of your life, in a way. Mm-hmm. Of, like, okay, this is a little bit of, like, a cartoon version of what I am.
Yeah. I mean, that is my most practiced material at this point. Like, the very, like, just the personal life story sort of stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm from Ukraine. I have a bunch of jokes about that. You know, growing up, you know, as an immigrant in America, everyone hating, you know, people from the USSR.
Right.
Yeah. So that stuff always works, so.
Did that really, like, affect you growing up, do you feel? Like, with just, like, how you get along with people and stuff like that socially?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they were, like, pretty mean. Like, adults would routinely bully me. Like, my teachers and, like, everyone. Like, just that's random, like, old ladies.
Like, I think the one thing with that, that is, you know, from experience, is all that stuff just makes you funnier in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just builds up those calluses of, like, okay, I can take this and I can, you know. And you can manipulate it in whatever way. That's the fun thing about comedy in the beginning when I started being funny was, like, it's just a good way to, like, move, like, turn the tables on people and be like, okay, I might not be, for me, I'm like, I might be the, like, most physically, like, intimidating, but word-wise, it's really fun when you can get a hold of that. Has your family been pretty supportive of stand-up, or do they not really know that you do it?
Oh, hell no. No, they hate it. All of them, yeah. my brother is just the super, super LGBT, super, super liberal, mm-hmm. like free Palestine sort of guy.
Right.
And he hates every single one of my jokes, which is funny to me because, like, I make jokes about him.
Right.
And how he's trans and all that. And
I always feel like your jokes, like, because I'm a very progressive person politically, I always feel like you do really good political humor. And it's not just, like, that I agree with it, because that's part of it. But also, like, you do good jokes with that. Oh, you do bring something out in it. I would never view as that stuff as offensive, but I guess because I sort of, you know, I know that you're, would it be safe to say queer would be the correct terminology?
Yes.
It's like, since you're able to do, since you have that, I guess I like, make it, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, that he's allowed to, like, I don't know if that's wrong or right to think that way.
It's exactly how it works in 2020. You're only allowed to make fun of yourself.
So. Right. Because that's the thing I have, like, with my autism that's so hard, is because it's such a diverse thing, but it's also so intricate, and a lot of people, like, think they have stuff, and it's like, you know, it's a whole thing. And I just don't want to ever, like, I think generalization really hurt with comedy. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's common.
Oh, yeah.
Is like, so if I can just make it more specific to what I'm talking about, and I feel like you do that really well with whenever you talk about, like, the stuff you're doing, like, queer-wise and everything, like, with your partners. Mm-hmm. I think it gives a real insight to everything.
Yeah, I feel like, well, yeah, definitely. Like, because I was closeted for a long time, just mm-hmm. hanging out with straight people. And they have, like, no fucking idea what happens in queer circles or, like, how the sex even works or, like,
right.
how people interact with one another. And, yeah, I just kind of want to bring that forward a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm sure people just, you know, once they kind of think it's the same, but it's totally different yeah. in every aspect. It's like, that's what was, I don't know if you saw the movie Bros, but that was a big... That was a good, like, I think that was a good movie in terms of just showing that side well.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I know, that's such a stupid, like, cis person movie to say, oh, I watched this movie.
No, I don't. I mean, I always remember Bruno when that came
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Because, like, people want to think that they're, like, about it and that they support everything. But I watched that movie, and within 10 minutes... most of the theater had left. It was like a packed theater.
Yeah.
And I think four people watched the entire movie with me.
Right.
And it's, you know... I mean, granted, that show was gratuitous as hell, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's... There's, I don't know. You gotta respect the fact that straight people are, like, legitimately grossed out by gay sex. Like, that's a...
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing that happens.
Yeah, it's... You know, I... Yeah, it's a weird thing how some people can be desensitized to stuff and other people can't.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel that way for me with, like, comedy is, like, it's really hard to, like, shock me verbally with stuff because I'm just, like, I'm used to it. But, yeah, it's still, to me, I'm just, like, now I'm, the one thing that I always have to remember is that people are not always the same as their material.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all know someone who's very, like, very dark on stage, but they're, like, the sweetest person ever. And it's so hard to, like, explain to people, like, no, that guy's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like Bob Saget.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I've been rewatching Full House
okay.
the past couple of days. Just to, like, because I used to watch it all the time growing up, just to get, like, a perspective on it. And it's such an interesting thing with, you know, how Joey's a comedian. Like, there's an episode where he gets this opportunity, like, to perform, to get on, it's like a tryout to an audition to get on, like, an HBO thing. And, Phyllis Diller comes up during his time that he's supposed to go on. She's, like, a guest there. And it completely takes the attention away from him. And I'm like, that's so relatable. Because yeah. I've been in that spot where you're at the stress factory and then, like, someone comes up and they're like, you know, they'll come in during the mic and it's like, oh, they're going to go up and do like 15 minutes during this. It's like, it's crazy how that happens. Have you, I know we're kind of like on this kind of lower level, but have you been able to meet anyone or any comedians that
are notable? No. Well, I mean, not particularly, no. Joey Diaz I've seen like 2-3 times now because he lives in Jersey.
Oh, apparently. That's great. Yeah.
Danny Braff is out here going to mics.
Yeah, Danny Braff is... I always feel like he's living like the life that I want.
Yeah.
He's completely living the dream. Like, totally is. Like, mm-hmm. He figured out a way to, you know, to get his own show and get these comedians that, you know, and he's like, I think he's like any of us, he's like a super nerd of everyone. So,
yeah.
I remember I tried to, I went to his show, cause I wanted to get, Mitch Vitell on the podcast. And, cause a lot of people were fans and I was just like, I like him. So that was a weird thing. Cause I was like, in the green room with him, and I'm like, I probably should have waited after to talk to him, because I didn't bother him at all.
Yeah.
But it was a total weird thing. And then I saw Kosh do his set, and he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool, because he comes, he goes first all the time at the mic, and he kind of leaves right away.
Right.
And I saw him do a full set of, like, it was so good. I was like, he should... Like, it's cool how you can see that. You can see someone at a mic, like, do something and then see them on a show and be like, oh, they have it all. They have a set
yeah.
thing. And he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And, yeah, the other thing about, like, it's fun roasting people and all, but I feel like, yeah, I need to make sets. Like, I need tight fives that I've practiced out. Because, yeah, like, if you want to meet famous comedians, you gotta go to New
York. Oh yeah, you gotta go places.
Like, go to the stand, like, talk to Jordan Jensen or one of those people.
Yeah.
So that's where they hang out.
Right. Yeah, because crafting a set, to me, it's like, since I've been trying to write this hour for the past four years now, it's like, I have the first 10 minutes, and that's what everyone sort of sees when I do my regular set of, mm-hmm. like, if there's new people at a mic anywhere, I'll just do the 5-minute portion of that.
Yep.
But it's like, now I have to remember to do different things. I always have to remember that I have more material than I do. My memory is terrible. Is yours? How's your memory with memorizing, like, your material and stuff?
Oh, I mean, it's way better now that I stopped smoking weed. But yeah, pretty bad. And it doesn't help that I'm completely disorganized. Like, I have, I don't know, hundreds of documents on my Google Drive just named untitled document. Right. That's where my jokes are. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's always cool. You know, it's when I saw Caprio's computer, and he has all these files and all this stuff. He had, like, so many,
mm-hmm.
like, direct files of, like, thousands of stuff. He had, like, 200 jokes about me. It was crazy. I was like, this is wild.
Yeah, I don't have that form of autism.
No, it's... No, he was an interesting dude.
Yeah. I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah.
But if he had all these jokes, why have I only heard, like, 20 different jokes out of him?
I know, right?
Yeah.
But I think that happens with everyone. I see that with so many people. I'll see them, like, they have their notebook and everything, and I'm like, there's stuff in there that they're not doing.
Yep.
And I understand, like, you get to that point where I had that for the past, like, year, where I was like, I have this 10 minutes that I bumped down to 6 minutes that I can do everywhere when there's new audience members, but it's terrible for people who know me to sit through,
mm-hmm.
because if it's just, you know, they just hear it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, I want to keep on pushing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing was, when I started before COVID, like, I kind of have a different experience from everyone, where we don't have a whole lot of, like, audiences are coming back. There's a bit more of audience members, but still there's a lot of performing in front of other comics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tough thing of, like, okay, if there's one new person in the audience, I can kind of, like, get in the bad habit of being like, I'm going to do my old set.
Yeah.
But like old reliable, like 10-minute intro of this, and yeah, it's crazy.
I think that there's a benefit to going to new places for that, just because if it's just comics, it's comics you've never seen or you don't see that often.
Yeah, that's why I liked about Sawarin. It's so funny when I saw that, I was like, I'm gonna see all new people. I didn't know the two hosts, hear any of them, and I was just like, it's gonna be all new people. And then I got in there and I saw Carl, and I was like, damn it, it's all the same people.
Yeah, well, I do have like, I guess, imposter syndrome with that for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, am I good at roasting people now, or do the people at the co-op just, like, know me?
I think it's just partly, especially at the co-op, it's just, like, because I've heard this criticism from people, is that that room is kind of too woke, and I don't think so. I just think there's a certain rhythm socially that just, you have to work out there. And when you're new, it's tough because we get along so well. We're so like friendly before the mic, where I was talking and big discussion that's like all fun. And then you switch to the mic and it's like, okay, we got to perform in front of each other now.
Yep.
And then it's like, okay. And especially when there's newer people, it's like they're in that spot of just finding what they're doing. I recently came up with an analogy on this podcast of what it's like when you're starting out to do stand-up. Is it sounds weird, but it's the analogy I make, it's like rock climbing blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do stand-up a little bit more, the blindfold comes off and you just know where you're going. But you're just seeing people like just reach for stuff, and there's so much like culturally that people want to talk about that I always go in my head of like, oh, they're not experienced enough to talk about that. But then part of me is like, well, I should have more balls in the stuff that I talk about.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Definitely.
That mix is tough.
Yeah. I think I've thought of a metaphor for it too. It's like you can't practice stand up by yourself. So if you compare it to other performing arts, like playing an instrument,
yeah,
you can sit in your house for 3 years and teach yourself how to play guitar and then go outside and amaze people.
Right.
That will not happen with stand up. So it's almost like you're learning piano, but every time you practice, it's a recital and there's 20
right.
people in front of you.
And I think the one thing that's closest to, I'm not like a sports person, but I can imagine it's like when you go and play basketball, like communal wise, it's like there are some people who are like training to be professional athletes. And then there are some people who do it just for fun.
Yeah.
And to me, my only thing with that analogy is, it's cool if you do it just for fun. Just try and get it in the basket, man.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, you know, as long as you're trying it and you're doing the thing of, like, you know, at least trying to be funny and trying to get things, because people just get stuck in it, you know, especially at this level that we're at. You can do it for a long time and be like, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to do this. And then people, you know, they start, like, their sets just, the jokes just kind of leave. And they're just, like, there as, like, their communal thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. There's a couple of boomer comedians I've run into that have, like, this misplaced sense of arrogance.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're like, I've been doing this 25 years. I'm
right.
always like, why are you at the same mic as me? I've been doing it for two.
Right.
Like, shouldn't you, like, have progressed at some point, gotten better?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Have you ever seen Back to the Future?
Yeah.
I have a joke about boomers that I don't do anymore. I did it once in a while. It's very niche to people who've been doing stand-up. I'm like boomers in comedy is like that movie. It's like punchlines where we're going, we don't need punchlines. And then it's like I add that into it's all just like hate crime bingo with them.
Yeah.
It's like gay joke, transgender joke. Joke about hating their wife. Joke about doing drugs. Joke about doing coke with who's this name? His name is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I know.
I'm trying to think.
I don't remember.
Ari Lang.
Yeah.
Doing coke with Ari Lang. A story of how they did, a sad story about how they did coke with Ari Lang.
Right.
And it's like that worked pretty well for the couple people that know like stand up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's tough with those. That's a fun thing though, I think, with comedy now, that's great in our community, is a lot of those guys have just been like secluded from us in a way.
Yeah.
Of like, we just sort of, and people will tell you now, oh, you don't have to go there, there's other places, and mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I did Scotty's like twice. It was like, the first time I did it, I couldn't get it on because I stayed way too late, yep. like, to wait. And I was just like, okay, I can't do this. And then I think I did one set there. I did a couple. And I did, like, a competition there with a friend. Like, this guy John Beecroft, who I'm friends with. We did, like, a competitive. It wasn't, like, a roast battle, but it was, like, we each did, like, 3 jokes or, like, 5 jokes, and then whoever did the best got to move on. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun. You know, the one thing that I think is great is when you're hanging around other comics, the stuff that you get to learn and how to do other... Do you feel like the people that you sort of hang out around with, like, that their stuff kind of rubs off on you a little bit of just their way that they do comedy?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, yeah. I feel like I've been doing it now, and, like, it's kind of like I'm seeing, like, The Matrix, but just in code, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just like, okay, call back, rule of threes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is going to be a fun metaphor.
Yeah, because last year my whole entire thing was I want to learn how to do the callback thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get kind of lost in that of like, okay, I'm doing it too much and I can just find a way into it. And it's a good way to like wrap it around and be like, okay, this is the end. And, you know, I always feel like every good joke that I have always has its own rhythm, but they're all separate rhythms. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just got to get into that piece. Like, once you know, also when you know where you're going, it's good. Because you're like, okay, this goes here. And if it works, it works well. Like, it just goes into, you know, whatever you can. And then you can add that into more stuff. Yep. And coming up with tags for stuff is always so, so much fun. And it's also cool for me to, like, see other people and like their tags and you know their stuff that they come up with. And the good thing is like when you're around people, what I try not to do too much is like when there's a mic is like sort of everyone will kind of piggyback off of a certain like topic.
Oh, yeah.
That will happen during the night. Mm-hmm. And it's like that can be helpful, but that can also be a crutch too in a bad way of like,
yeah.
Okay. But you know, I think for the most part that's a really fun thing too.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have, you know, a lifeline or a crutch.
Yeah.
Like, I always fall back on just having a deep voice.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of jokes about that. That or, you know, being Ukrainian or something like that. Just something I know will work.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you added, like, I don't think I've heard many of your newer jokes about your deep voice. I thought that you were... I didn't, not moving away from that, but, like, doing more personal stuff other than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, like, I sound like X with a nicotine addiction.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's not that complicated.
Do you tell people, like, other than, besides, like, your family and stuff, that you do it? Like, I don't know, when you're an Uber driver, like, do you tell people at all?
Yeah, I mean, people mention it a lot, especially if they're drunk.
Right.
They're like, Uber driver, you have such a deep voice. And I'm like, I know. Get that a lot. It's like telling a tall person he's tall.
Right, telling like a tall person he's tall. Like, people will just point it out.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, the first time I met you and heard you were an Uber driver, I'm like, I would fantasize in my head about asking you to say things.
Yeah, they'll do that sometimes, too. Yeah, it's great.
Like, oh, that's probably annoying.
I'm like, I'm not Thanos.
Right.
Like, stop it.
It's like, I'm not a toy. Play with me all the time.
Yeah. I'll do it, but it's $10 extra.
Right. Yeah. Has that helped, like, with working at... Do you work out a lot of material, like, kind of quietly, like, mysteriously on them with whatever you're thinking of? I know a few people who do that.
I mean, I try to, but... I don't ever remember it too much. Mm-hmm. Like, if I spend a day working for, like, 10, 12 hours, maybe three interesting things will happen.
Right.
And, you know, I don't actually want to talk about work that much. Like, it's A, because I don't want to get fired, and B, like, this doesn't feel...
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, these people don't consent to this shit. Like, I can't talk about them.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, I can change their names and everything, but, you know.
Right.
It makes me feel weird.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine, mm-hmm. You know. It's so hard to take that, like, that side of, like, okay, what am I going to take from this? And I always try and talk more about myself than anything and really get onto that side of, okay, what am I getting into? Have you seen anything, like, that you're sort of working on now? Like, any type of specific, like, bits or anything that's sort of, like, on your mind for stuff you're doing?
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to string together, like, a solid 5 minutes or 3 minutes for mm-hmm. tonight's thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm starting to think about how I can... Because I have all of these jokes that are, like, one or two lines.
Right.
And you can turn that into, like, paragraphs, and that's how it should work.
You know, timing is such a, like, that's the thing that I feel like you do pretty well. I just noticed that from your set on Sunday. Oh. It seemed like you were pretty good. Am I wrong? Or is it still pretty hard, the timing thing?
I mean, yeah, it works. I mean, it feels nice. I don't want to toot my own horn, but, yeah, we were hanging out at Ale & Witch the other night. And Josh Tinley said I was, like, leagues above everyone else.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. That felt great.
Yeah, because I used to record myself, and it's, like, the same thing that everyone sort of has. Mm-hmm. Maybe not you. It was like, oh, I thought this bit was longer. It's like, oh, I thought this bit was 5 minutes long. It's 5 seconds. It's, like, 15 seconds. It's not as long as it should be.
Yeah. I mean, I always talk slower than, like, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I always end up writing too much. And that's helped me a lot, too, because, like, you know, a joke needs to be succinct. Like,
right.
Quick setup, quick punchline.
It's like, you get to that punchline quickly. That's the thing that I can sort of get, like, at a mic, I'm always, like, especially at the co-op, I'm always, like, my nerdy comedy brain comes. It's like you said, when you're looking at, like, The Matrix, you're like, okay, the punchline's there. I'm always, like, just... get to the punchline quicker. That's always my sort of criticism with, like, newer people and stuff is, like, oh, just get to it quicker. Yeah. But I also know that for me, like, for many years, it was just, like, word choice and, like, keeping that succinct, too, is a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to... The thing I still don't like that I do is a lot of, like, I forgot the word for it, but just, like, the us and... the saying like all the time, and just like, I have to say, you know, different things than that. I'm just like, change that. Change the word that you use.
Yeah, I mean, I wish people would roast me more.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah.
I feel like there is a lot for people to probably do, but there is probably also, like, I don't know, an intimidation thing is too strong to say, but it's just like, it's also that you're so good at it. It's just like people are going to be... It's tough to get through.
Feared and respected. Like,
yeah.
But no, like... what's his name? People used to early on that, like, imitate me. And they're just like, yeah. Because I figured out I was very monotonous and I say yeah a lot. So I stopped doing both of those things.
Right. I just... You do a really cool thing with your voice where you'll just make it, like, different... You'll just use it in different situations. I still love that one bit that you did about, like, how you can never go to a doctor that's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
It's like, that bit was so good.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was like, that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, with writing more of your stuff like that, like, getting more of a condensed set, you want to do longer jokes, I guess you said. Is that, like, sort of where you're aiming at, doing longer, sort of longer jokes?
Not longer jokes, but, you know, jokes that work well in sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what a bit should be, I think, not a story.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Big Jay Oakerson. He's got his thing.
Yeah, I can't do stories. I wish I could. I'm never good at that. That's a tough thing I want to get way better at. That's like, I can't do stories. Like, the one person who's really good at that is Matt Nascimento. He's good with that style.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough, you know. People just have their thing they're able to do. Like, one of the coolest things about, like, hanging out with Vijay was his stuff is, like, it's, like, dark, but it's smart. So it's, like, a real, like, cool thing to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Me being in the car with him and Caprio was wild. The conversations and stuff and the jokes, yeah. Everything. It's just, like, because Dan is at furious, like, all the time. And then, like, Vijay is, like, he's had a pretty hard background in life, so he's so funny from that.
Mm.
And then whenever I could make him laugh, I was just like, this is great.
Yeah.
So do you have, like a group of comedians that you're friends with, you feel like?
I mean, I'd say so. It was fun. I was talking about this. Well, Devin Koch.
Yeah.
It's my bestie.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. We were talking about this because she does music too.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently you go to like these music mics and everyone there is just best friends instantaneously. She told me like they're these two dudes and like after they've known each other for 6 months, one of them got like the lyrics to another one's song tattooed on him already. And like comics are completely the opposite. Like I went out of my way to like drive Liam to the co-op the other week.
Yeah.
Which added like 2.5 hours to my commute. And, you know, I just did it. I'm like, yeah, this guy's just a guy I know.
I thought that was really nice that you did that. And it's always cool, like, when you can do that for comedian friends, because traveling has always been, since I don't drive, it's been such a thing of, like, that's been sort of what's really helped me a lot is traveling with different people because they just have different styles in their comedy and, like, you know, it's fun. Like, you probably, you know, with Liam, you probably had a good conversation about shit.
That's all right.
It's, like, fun when you have stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
he's big into movies.
So yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Larry hates The Matrix.
But, oh, really? Yeah.
You know, some people can be wrong. That's fine.
I remember me and my friend, we watched The Matrix, like, all three movies one day. That was wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I rewatched them recently, and they are, like, kind of dumb, but it's still it's still great. It was, like, our generation Star Wars.
I think by the third one, I was, like, tapping out, but we didn't watch it the whole day.
Yeah.
It's just such a... Movies are such an interesting thing to me, because it's kind of like your voice acting thing. Like, before I did stand-up, my thing was, like, you know, I was kind of picking, like, what I wanted to do in my life. I was like, I'm going to be a screenwriter. And I tried that for a while. It just did not work out. Because as much as good as I am as a creative writer, my grammar is totally bad. And structurally, I just couldn't do that.
I mean, that's what editors are for.
It's just like, but I tried it for a while in like community college. I was like, I'm going to be a screenwriter. It's so I'll still get like movies ideas and stuff. I'm like, I should get back into it, but... Stand-up has been good in, like, figuring out what I want to do. I listen to so many albums. It's, like, that's the one thing that's cool, too, is finding new people. Like, you know, it's so tough because there's so many comedians out there.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, and it can be, like, hard to, like, sift through everyone and be, like, okay. And also, it always differs in quality, right, of, like, the people that we like and then... You know, something happens, some special's not as good. Like, besides Taylor, did you watch any... Have you watched anything else?
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't remember, though. I mean, what I've been doing is trying to listen to a lot of podcasts.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like a bunch of Andrew Tantino's, Tosh's stuff.
Oh, yeah. Tosh is good.
Tosh Show.
I listened to... Conan O'Brien has a great one. And he had Larry David on... recently, and it was just so great. I don't know if you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm at all. It's fantastic. And the cool thing that I've heard on a podcast before from another comedian, and just like on that podcast, he's himself, like on that show, like it's him, like in real life.
Right.
And he mentioned like he'll whenever he has like a like a problem socially with people. He's like, I'll just be TV, Larry. And that'll be like fine. Like people will not be able to tell the difference. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's cool those podcasts, because when I started out like getting really into comedy as like a comedy nerd, that was what I watched, like listened to all the time. Mm-hmm. It was like Mark Maron's and then Pete Holmes a whole bunch and like some Rogan. Like Rogan, I always pay attention to just the comedians that he has on.
Yeah,
because I always feel like he gets a good. I don't know if you listen to Santino has a good one. Mark Norman's mm-hmm. ones that he does are really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch Rogan, but yeah, I saw Stavros was on there.
That
was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always, I don't know, with Rogan, it's like such a weird thing. I've heard his seeing him live is like he's good, but everything that I've watched of his specials and his work is just like,
yeah,
not.
He's kind of a dog shit comic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's the impression I get.
Yeah. The thing that he reminded me of just like, when he was, you know, just kind of talking about his stars, like he really got just good at like, he just found his audience. That's all that he really did was he found his audience, which is just all you need to, which is all some people need to do is just find that group of people that will like them.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the thing for me is like, I'm self-deprecating in my act. Mm-hmm. And that is so different from what people do nowadays, because with hip hop infusing comedy now with, you know, roasting and everything, it's like people kind of want to look cool. Do you see that? Like that people kind of want to look more cool than kind of making fun of themselves?
I mean, depends. I think a small group of comics do that, but mostly it's just looking like a weirdo. Like, look at Stavros. That's a grotesque human
yeah.
being.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's doing great. People love him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to... It's about being unique.
Right.
That's what you need to
love. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can't just be, you know, Jerry Seinfeld in a blazer.
And I think we have, like... That was the one thing, like, it's so weird to bring up of, like, why I was such a big fan of Louis was because, like, as a heavier person, especially as a teenager, I was like, oh, this is not a person in a suit. This is, like, just a regular-looking guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then figuring out, like, you know, how you can sort of make yourself that. And, you know, I think the thing for me is, like, becoming comfortable with calling yourself a comedian. It's a big part of it too. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel comfortable with that? Like now, like when you tell people, like, are you like, I just do comedy? Is that basically?
Yeah, I've been paid. But I'm a professional comedian.
Yeah, that's the way I view it too. I view it that way kind of too. Yeah. Like, if you're able to do it that way, and you know, it takes time. You know, for some people, and you know, it's just like to hear that, it's just like you get your due. You know, that's the only thing that you hope for, and I think in any creative endeavor, is like the people around it. They just, that are good, they just get what their due is.
Right.
Because I know that you've been, you know, recently just trying to get on more shows, and I feel like that should happen, but there's either justice or no justice with that.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Who likes me, who doesn't.
Right. Because I think your stuff is just, you know, I don't want to over-compliment you, but your stuff is just great, you know, it's, I really like your whole entire act and everything that you do. It's one of the things that is like a bright spot of like going to that mic on Sunday, because it could be like, okay, you never know who's going to be there. Like, is it going to be a night where there's just like five of us and it's nothing, or there's like a bunch and it's, you know, rowdy and everyone's attention. So besides like those mics, is there anything new that you, other mics that you've been doing?
I mean, you know, going to Nip and Tuck now, trying to do Seaworn, been doing PJs. I'm doing something on Wednesday because there's like seven mics.
I haven't so been to PJ's mic in a long time either.
Yeah.
That's a good one. There's still, there's still the no filter polls there. So
yeah, they go first and second and they leave. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. It's just weird because they, it's funny. He wants me to, like, be friends with him. And it's like, it's tough because I don't want to be like a dick, but I'm like, I don't want to like that too.
It's cool. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, what is he? 21, right? 22? He doesn't look it at all, but yeah.
Besides doing mics and the guitar thing, is there anything else that you sort of have been doing at all?
I mean, you know, it's a little bit just personal stuff, really.
Right.
I quit everything. I don't even smoke or drink coffee anymore.
Oh, yeah. You talk about your diet a little bit on stage, and, like, it seems like you're...
You had,
like, a transformation, a little bit of getting more in shape.
Yeah, I started that in January, and then halfway through January, I hurt my leg. So I gave up on my diet for the last, like, 5 weeks and gained most of the weight back. Mm. And my leg still hurts, so, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, look good again. Because most of my life I've been, like, super athletic. It's just, like, COVID hit and I, you know, gained all the weight and everything. So I'm trying to get back to that.
Did you do a lot of sports when you were younger?
Sports, no. But I, you know, I worked out religiously.
Oh.
Yeah. Did a lot of, like, weightlifting stuff, snatches and all that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I feel like that would help a lot. Because, what's it called? Being hot is, like, way better than not being hot.
Oh, yeah. And having that combination of hot and funny was, like, the best.
Yeah.
Like, have you... So, are you still, like... We talk about, you know, being Jewish a little bit on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still, like, pretty religious?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, like... I have jokes about it. I'm technically Jewish.
Right.
Like, I qualified for birthright, but didn't go.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, religion's not particularly important to me. And, I don't know. It's weird that it is for people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was never, like, I was very lucky in that we weren't raised, like, super duper really hard. My parents just, like, my mom just converted to Judaism because she liked it better.
Like Madonna?
Like, she just, you know, it's so weird. To me, it's like the level of magic that she accepts.
Okay.
It's like, okay, you believe in God, but Jesus being magic is too unrealistic. Mm-hmm. It's like, yep. It's like the level that's funny to me. Like, and I always, you know, I always try not to be an asshole about it. That was my major thing. Because you get into it, like, you know, you listen to, like, Richard Dawkins for, like, many years, and then you're like, this guy's a jerk. It's like...
Yeah.
You just want to find, like... You know what I mean? I'm always, like... And also, I gotta also realize, like, people are not, like, the stereotypes of, like, super crazy religious people are all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can sort of get stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's how everyone...
Yeah, no, it's not everyone. Plus, like, I tried to write a bit about this, but, like, I don't believe in God, but, like, I do believe in aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, like, way less, like, evidence for that than there is for, you know, Jesus and all that shit.
Right.
Like, it's just funny to me. I feel like I could make a metaphor for it somehow, but I haven't thought of a way to.
It's always cool to get into that side, because so many people believe in aliens and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Of, you know, how much you can come up with that. You know, I always love just coming up, finding new topics and stuff to talk about is always cool. And, like, interests and just things that you can do.
Because there's definitely, like, levels to that, too. Like, you got just the basic, yeah, these aliens, obviously. And then, like, some guy that's got, like, the I Want to Believe poster on it.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, worshipping David Duchovny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something there. I'll figure it out.
That's really cool, though, just to find something. You know, for me, it's just, like, doing that more, like, coming up with more stuff to talk about is major. And just the minor things of, like, I used to have so many tics on stage, and it used to be, like, that was a hard thing because people thought that was on purpose. And then I kind of miss, like, I've gotten more comfortable on stage, and that's kind of messed up with, like, kind of how I do my comedy. Do you feel more comfortable on stage, like, generally?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first started, I would have to get, like, drunk to do it.
I don't know.
Which was gross. Like, it was, like, the first 6 months of me doing comedy, I wish just, like, didn't exist in people's memories. Because, yeah, that was just completely fucking awful. And now, yeah, it's I'm definitely more nervous around people that have never seen me before, but...
Right.
Yeah, once I pick up the mic and get, like, if my opener works, then I'm fine.
Yeah, I think that's a cool thing with... Once your opener works, it's, like, that's really good. The tough thing is when nothing works, because it's like firing a gun and nothing coming out.
Yeah.
You're just like, something should come out from that. That usually gets something.
Yeah.
And that can be fun, too, in a way of, like, I was thinking, like, am I becoming, like, a crazy person, like, delirious? Like, I had this set where I bombed, and I was, like, I was happy that I bombed for some reason. I was like, oh, this is exciting. Now I can work on this. And I'm like, am I becoming nuts?
Yeah, it's good to be humbled once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get stuck in, like, that rhythm? Like, you'll be doing good for a while, and then you have that, like, humbling? Or is it usually, like...
Yeah, it happened to me yesterday.
Oh.
Like, I wrote a bunch of roasts for a bunch of people. Like, none of it worked. Like, none of it. I got some laughs towards the end with my own material, which was nice. But, yeah.
Right.
I'm just like, see, some people don't care.
Wow, I'm surprised at that. It can be tough, though, that roast. Have people... gotten mad or anything?
No, just silent.
Oh, just silent.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that, like, when people always ask, like, us about performing, and they're like, oh, is it, you know, how do you do that? Is it, like, nerve-wracking? It's like, you just get so used to people not caring.
Yeah.
That sort of is the more thing. It's like the apathy is what makes it easier.
Yeah, I'd rather people be mad.
Yeah, so. Of course. Yeah, you want that reaction. Like... Mm-hmm. I heard Chris Rock talk about that, of, like, you just want something to come out of it.
Yeah.
Of, like, I used to, and the thing that's so, like, cool and also really hard about the, like, tri-state area of, like, New Jersey, New York, and Philly, the problem with New Jersey and Philly is people like mean humor.
Yeah.
So, like, if you can be meaner on stage, people really like that. Whenever I got meaner on stage, people like it.
Yep.
But it's like that tough fine line of like, oh, I don't want to lose people with, you know, dealing with a heckler or something. Have you gotten a lot of hecklers or anything?
No, not really. I mean, early on I did, and I didn't handle it well, and it just really doesn't happen to me very often. Right. Yeah.
How would you handle it? Would it just be, like, too mean back, or...
I mean, yeah, it'd just be a sarcastic prick. That seems to be right. What crowd work is.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crowd work is such a weird thing to me.
Yeah.
I always should be better at it, but then, like, a lot of comedians that I'm a fan of don't like it either.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, to me, my thing is, it's, I just also had to just realized stand-up is seen differently and experience differently from how when I watched it.
Yeah.
Because when I got into it, like, my whole main story with it was I really didn't have much good stand-up to watch when I was younger. When I was, like, 13, 14, Dane Cook, Gabriel Iglesias, and I think Carlos Mencia were, like, the, like, three or four people that were just on Comedy Central all the time, and they were not that great.
Yeah.
And then it was, and then when I started, like, looking out from other places and started watching, like, HBO and stuff like that, and Showtime, that was where I found, like, Louis and Bo Burr and people like that.
Yeah.
Great Geraldo, and I was just like, then the internet, you know, comedy became so, with podcasts, just became so, like, prevalent. And then that's where I found, like, Pete Holmes and his whole friends of, like, John Mulaney and Hannibal. And it was just, like, a whole entire world opened up.
Yeah.
And, like, I just think it's, like, you know, it's the same thing as if you have any type of interest. Like, you're interested in a type of sport or something of, like, you just know the players involved. And once you know, like, the people involved, it's, like, easier to get more in love with it.
Yeah.
So, that was always the thing for me of just finding people. But yeah, crowd work is so tough because I look at it now and I'm like, that's what people see now for stand up. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes me like a little bit sad. I'm like, oh, this is what people see nowadays. They're just like people that are watching right now. They just see on TikTok, oh, it's just this. You know, it's kind of like a misconception. It's it's like, to me, I wanted to, once I saw good stand-up, I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah, I blame Twitch, personally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, this idea that, especially with like Gen Z, that they're celebrities and you need to be able to interact with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so now instead of just going to the show and watching the material, they're like, I want to be in the clip.
And yeah. That's like a thing. I think everyone also, like, especially in our generation, because we're around a similar age, is, like it's been said, like, we kind of were conditioned, like, early on more than others to be in the spotlight more. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, people like my sister's generation, like, 4 years older than me, like, they had, like, you know, like American Idol and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like that was like the beginning of like people just wanting to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a tough thing with comedy now, is I can see that with a lot of young comics and I always get like so annoyed. I'm like, that's not why you do it. I'm like, do you have 10 years? That's all that I have to tell you is, if you have 10 years, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because people just want that, like, instant, you know, thing of, oh, because I was guilty of it, too. When you start, you kind of feel like you're living the movie of your life when you do stand-up.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to, like, progress, see all your progress and, like, tape everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you haven't really posted a whole lot of stuff online, right?
No, I haven't.
That's pretty smart. I always think it's smart. You know, I took, like, waited, like, 2 years to put stuff up. I felt like when I was just starting out, it was so funny. I didn't technically know how to write jokes for a long time. So once I sort of got that, it was like, okay, now I can post stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a smart idea.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is that I want to wait till I'm good, but right. I am now, so I'm just being lazy at this point. Cause
right.
Putting yourself, you need clips, you need
videos,
you need whatever, because like to get on like bigger shows run by people I don't know,
right,
they're gonna be like, send me a tape, and I don't have any.
it's such a crapshoot with that of like, you know, I always like, even though I'm not like big about like, oh, fame or anything with comedy, it is funny to me, like it is so weird to me that all like all my stuff gets like 200-300 views. And then all my friends are, like, super big on, like, TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the level that I'm at. And it's humbling. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's good to know where you are.
Yeah, but they do so much more work. Like, you know who Rob Stant is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him at, you know, what's his face?
Oh, yeah.
Bar 13, like, a bunch of times. And he actually recorded the only video that I have on my YouTube channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And yeah, he's editing.
No, he's clips. Fantastic.
Yeah.
He's done so good for him. He's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and, but he posts shits every day.
Yeah.
Like every day he's posting something. And, like a clip, a picture, a video, like something.
And he was able to get past at certain clubs, which is so hard to get past at clubs, especially, you know, in this state, in New Jersey, it's incredibly hard than any other place.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to, you know, so many comedians on this podcast from different places, like people in like Arizona, and they're like, no, we get our clubs to use nicely. They like, they let young people on and they like have like a system. It's like clubs are so hard. And with stand up, like the thing that's crazy about our like system is we have such an outer like punk rock world of stand up that we're in.
Yeah.
And it's like, that jump from there to clubs is really tough.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've never performed at a club, but I can think of three in New Jersey. I mean, there's a shitload in Atlantic City, but outside of that, you got what? The Dojo, Scotty's, and the Stress Factory.
Yeah.
And neither of those have, one of those has opened. Well, actually, yeah, two of them. But
yeah,
they don't like recruit from there. Like it's
no,
they just have an open mic. It's not a thing like the host. I mean, the guy that owns the place isn't there. You're not going to get booked.
Right.
Just for coming to the mic. Like it's.
Yeah. I did the mic at the Swiss Factory a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough though. Cause that was 3 minutes. Yeah. And when you don't have anything, when you don't have a defined set, that's tough.
3 minutes is rough, yeah. That's tight.
Because it's quick and then you're like, okay, this is what to do. Have you done, the showroom?
The showroom?
Mike Earl showcase thing?
No.
They have like a thing on Mondays, like at the end of the month.
Oh, it's Chris Kovacs thing?
No. They do like a, this is guy Joe Castor. He does like a Kill Tony type of style thing.
Oh, no. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Asbury, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go next month.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird. Because, you know, there's like us who are established and then there's newer comics who are just like a couple people who are like hacky.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to me, I'm just like, the thing that I'm so bad at is I always wish that like my temperament was better and like that I was better behaved or like had a better attitude towards bad mics. Yeah. I'm like, I've been doing it so long that bad mics shouldn't upset me mm-hmm. as much as they do.
Yep.
But they still do. It's like, I take it way too seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Sometimes I feel like I'm wasting my time when I go to like perform in front of like 6 people that don't care.
Right.
But, you know, it's also gotta say the words out loud. Maybe someone, you just gotta like, instead of waiting for laughter, what I do is I like lower my expectation and I'm like, okay, let's see if this makes them look away from their phone.
Right.
And that's a laugh, because that's just the energy level in the room right at that moment.
It's like eye contact and even a smile. It's like, what I can do, because comedy is so communal. It's like, if you make one person laugh, people will just laugh out of just having to socially fit in.
Yep.
It's like collectively. It's like, okay, people like this guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to get into it. Do you drink a lot of coffee too? I drink so much coffee.
I mean, it's decaf.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to drink like a gallon a day. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah. I'm a big coffee person, so that's... It's always interesting. I love Dunkin' Donuts. You know, people are like all about Starbucks and different places. I'm like, I like Dunkin' Donuts. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Also, all decaf tastes awful. So, at least this one's got sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, when you go to, like, mics and stuff, I don't want to get too personal, but has it been expensive for you at all? Like, with it? Because I feel like it's gotten more expensive over time of doing it.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Like, it's mostly gas for me.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm driving up to the dojo tonight. That's 80 miles round right. trip. Like, it's $8 right there. So, outside of that, like, not particularly. Because, like, I stopped drinking.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore. Like, it's... If anything, I've really cut down on costs of going out to mics.
Oh, that's good.
In the last year, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's always something to, like, take good note of, is, like, just how you're spending your time with comedy. Because I think that's the tough thing is you can't do it all the time because also you need a little life in between of, like, just to get shit to talk about.
Also, I've been thinking a lot about the time investment, yeah, because it's, like, example, I got to Nip and Tuck yesterday, like 6:30. Left at midnight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's.
I was lucky in that my mom was in Florida, so my dad had to go pick her up. And then, like, I wasn't going to go anyway because I watch wrestling on Monday sometimes. So I was just like, I'm going to watch wrestling. And then that was fine. And, you know, to me, I'm just like, I try and get out. You know, I used to get out more when I was living with VJ, it was so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
My parents don't really, my dad doesn't really like me to Uber as much, so I used to do that all the time. I used to go out like 4 times a week when I was living with VJ.
Mm-hmm.
And like even starting out lifting with him, we would travel together to a lot of places.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. But he's still been, like, it never was an issue between us that he's more established than me in certain ways.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a difference, a stark difference in the end.
Right.
It was like, oh, yeah, we're in totally different places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is hard, but it's like, we never let it really affect our relationship. We got along really well.
That's good.
Yeah. That's a good thing, too. It's like, because people can change, you know, people can, you know, they'll get a little bit of success, and it's like, oh, they don't pay attention anymore to people,
mm-hmm.
or they sort of let it get to their head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always try and just support people when I can and go to things. Like, do you ever just go to things just to watch, like, shows and stuff?
I've been starting to, yeah. I went to the Malau thing. That's the whole thing I did.
Yeah.
I went to the, AJ's thing. Album 19. Yeah, and he actually gave me time.
Yeah, I heard that he gave everyone time.
Yeah, everyone.
So cool.
It's pretty.
That's really good of him to do.
With an audience.
He seems to have a good mindset about that. I thought that was really cool that he did that.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people would do that at all. So that's really cool that he let that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome, you know, just how much bigger and better the community has gotten. I feel like a lot of people, especially now, like, have you been asked to do any type of bringer shows or anything like that?
Not recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were you getting it a lot when you were starting out?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The
first scam you fall for, right?
Oh, yeah.
I did one, and I was like, I know this is a scam, but let me experience this once.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually a friend, I wouldn't call him a friend, but this dude I know in the city,
mm-hmm.
he's in my friend's group.
Right.
And yeah, he runs producer shows out of the producer's club.
Mm.
And he was like, yeah, just give me 25. It's a contest. I'll give you 3 spots if you win.
Right.
I won. He gave me one show on like Broadway and 240th Street.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, it's a show on Broadway. I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
This is basically not New York anymore.
Right. No, I did that for a period of time. A lot of bringer shows when I was like a year or like a year and 6 months in. And I like knew what it was a scam and everything. But from what I got, like, the thing that I learned is it's all about the people that do it. Some people have a good mindset about it and are honest and are like, they have a good motive behind it. But some people, they just... I know a lot of people who get into that side of it because they can't hack it as comedians.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm just going to get into this business side and sort of just try and throw my weight around there.
Yeah, I mean, it, the way it's supposed to work is you bring a bunch of friends, they laugh at all your jokes. You get it on tape with a great crowd reaction, and then you put it on the internet.
Yeah.
But I don't have any friends. B, like, I don't know, I'm not that funny, so I can't really expect people that I don't know to do that.
Right. I think you're really funny. Yeah. Just the stuff that you are able to do, but it is so tough to, like, when you're starting out to maneuver through that, of, like, especially since you don't post stuff, it's like, and you want to, it's, like, really putting yourself out there. Like, to me, I always try not to get, like, too big of a head of, like, okay, I shouldn't put, like, this much out here as much because, you know, I don't want to share overindulge in, like, what I post.
Yeah.
But then it's, like, no, you got to do that. You got to post everything in a way. And that can be really tough.
Yeah.
Because I look at things of, like, a standard. I'm, like, I'm always, like, if I share it, there has to be a laugh on it. And there's a lot of comedian friends that I have that are, like, braver than me that can post stuff that doesn't have, like, a whole lot of laughs in the room.
Yep.
And then it'll still do well online for them. But I'm just, like, to me, it's, like, I already turned the comments off on, like, TikTok and stuff. I'm, like, I need people to know that I am good at stand-up. So, like, if the audience reaction is good, I'm going to post that because it's, like, it's just proof. It's like,
yeah.
And then it's just like a bonus to me. It's like, okay, people get to see this online, then I get whatever attribute views from it. Yeah. That'll just be better. But I'm always like, I want to kill in the room and share it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing for me is that, like, I do a lot of roasting. It's how I open,
yeah,
basically. And those kill, but, like, if I put that on the internet, no one's going to know what the hell I'm talking about. They don't right. know who any of these people are, what yeah. they look like, what their jokes were.
Yeah.
Like, so it's...
Right, there's a thing with that. Yeah.
If I film my whole set, I'm going to have, like, 2.5 minutes of usable material.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you'll just have the stuff, like, sort of in the middle to the end of what's your actual
yeah.
thing. And, yeah, it has that... So that's been, like, positive or negative, do you feel, like, with that?
What?
With, like, sort of doing that, do you want to do more, like, regular material, or are you thinking yeah. of sticking with
no, I do.
The roasting more?
I want to do more of my own material, yeah. I tried that, like, a week ago at Ron Skirkanish's mic.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was just like, why didn't you roast anyone?
They missed it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hard thing, too.
Also, like, Liam keeps introducing me as, like, the roast master of New Jersey now.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I've pigeonholed myself. Look at that.
Right. The thing I've learned is, like, if you do it in the right way, you can sort of, either on stage or off stage, sort of nudge people not to introduce you in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to do that a long time. Because people just, they get stuck in... You know, it's hard because we have our on-stage persona, but also we have our social persona, and that can get sort of conflated
yeah.
with what you do on stage. And it's like, I don't want to be introduced in certain ways. Like, don't mention the autism thing before on stage, because I'll just talk about that right away and get that out of the way too quickly.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
Because, yeah, you need to work off of... Your I mean, you don't. You could just cold open.
But yeah, some people can just cold open. I've been just... Oh, this is an interesting thing that I've been talking about recently. When I get on stage, like... The bad thing that I am is I'm not professional at all, really. Like, whatever my mood is off stage, it's pretty, like, noticeable on stage. Like, yeah. very noticeable on stage. Do you feel that's the same way for you, or are you able to just sort of compartmentalize your mood with whatever you're performing?
I mean, 99% of the time, I'm, like, dead in the face, so
right.
I feel like it doesn't matter too much.
Right.
And, yeah, nothing really makes me mad.
Or, right.
Yeah, recently, no, I don't feel it affects me at all.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always want to get better at that, of like, oh, don't take your mood out on people. This audience that's going
to,
like...
When I was starting out, it used to, because I was unhinged and unmedicated. Mm-hmm. And people told me I was way funnier when I'm mad.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if I want to be that guy. So.
No, it's like you got to be healthier. That's the thing. It's like, to me, I learned that early on. It's like what I do recently is, like, I used to go out when I wasn't feeling well. And that was just, like, bad because socially I'd just be, like, a bummer to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And I'd just be like, I'm not going to go to a mic where I'm not going to be happy, like, socially.
Yep.
I used to do that all the time because I'm like, because I could go out, you know, if I have a bad day, I can go out and do a set and that'll make me feel better. But it's like, oh, I'm just a terrible person to be around. And you don't want that. Everyone wants to sort of like see you at your best, I guess. Like, or just being around, because a lot of it is for me, it's just the stuff before, like the setup of stuff. It's like, okay, gotta get there, gotta talk to everyone, gotta be like, on, in a way, socially.
Yeah, you gotta hang.
Yeah. The hang is really tough to learn. Do you feel like you've gotten, like, a good approach with that, or...?
Yeah, you just don't leave until everyone else is gone, and that's basically what I do now.
Right. Yeah. And, like, it's easier when you can find people who you sort of mesh with, and then you get, like, conversations that you can talk with.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, Devin. Yeah. She's always so awesome to talk with.
Yep.
That stuff. And, do you go to Reggie's mic
yeah.
still? Yeah, that's very conversational, right?
Yeah, it's great there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Has it been good?
I mean, yeah, not decent. It's definitely a smaller mic now. But
yeah.
Yeah, I go there because it's, you know, 15 minutes from my house.
Right, that's the closest one to you, right? That and RTB, right?
Yeah, but... You know, fuck that place.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a shame with that, like, how that sort of turned out. Because, I think he's having some people take over since he's going to Texas.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. Have you been able to do comedy in any different place other than New Jersey?
No, just been sitting here in Central Jersey.
Oh.
But although, do you know who's hosting the roast of Eleazar Guzman? Is that him?
No, I don't know.
No.
I heard about that. I don't know when it is.
Because I wrote some ridiculous roast for him. It's going to hurt his feelings.
Oh, I bet.
I might just crash it and be like, put me on.
I bet they'd like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
Eleazar is such an interesting dude. When he's put himself in so many situations. Like, speaking of Ari Lang, like, he was doing, when Bam Margera was doing comedy, like, he was doing that shows with him and with Artie. And, like, I never talked to Artie, but I was, like, in his vicinity, like, 3 feet away from him for, like, 2 months. Mm. And it was so funny just to see him, like, be himself. Like, it was so crazy.
Yeah.
It was, like, I never bothered him, but I was just, like, this is kind of, like, nuts and cool to, like, see someone be, like, the character of themselves that you think they'll be.
Mm.
That was really cool to me. It was like, and then just all the stuff that Eleazar would put up with and have to go through.
Oh my God. When's this episode coming out?
This is going to come out a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I just want to say that, you know, Scumbag Vinny?
Yes, yes.
He has a podcast.
Yeah, he has.
It's called Scumtown.
Yeah.
The second episode is just 45 minutes of him shitting on Eleazar.
Oh, yeah. He tried to, make me pay $100 to do comedy with him.
Oh, yeah, don't.
And I was like, no, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
okay. I was like 2 years into comedy at that time. I did not. And even if I was starting out, I wouldn't take that offer. But I was pretty mean to him, actually,
mm-hmm.
the entire, in all our interactions, most of our interactions.
Yep.
Yeah, so, this is gonna come out I have it right here. podcast. This is, it's gonna be April 27th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
it's not that far.
Yeah, you're actually going to be after Eleazar's second episode. So, had Eleazar return.
Perfect.
And, yeah, that was a good conversation, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really cool. Like, that's one of the cool thing about doing this podcast is, like, I've said it a bunch of times, but it's like, I really wanted to fix my attitude. Because I had such a bad, and I still do, about being stuck in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I want to be at other places and going to other states to do comedy and just getting out there. But, you know, you're sort of stuck in one place.
Yeah.
But New Jersey comedy is severely underrated. And there's so many people that have been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
That they need, like, to be exposed, like, in a good way. Of like, okay, so go see their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then younger people, or, like, just newer people, it's like, if I can give them a platform, that's always good. And people have told me that it helps them, like, promote themselves. And then the other thing that's cool is we see each other, like, we always think, like, socially that we see each other all the time. Like, we see each other a couple times a week.
Yeah.
But we really don't. And there's not a lot that we don't really get to know each other that well. So it's always fun when I'll have people on the podcast and then they'll be like, oh, I just started talking to this one person, like, after I saw their episode, listened to their episode, and now we're, like, way closer as friends. Because you just learn stuff about each other.
Yeah.
We have similar shit in common.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to thank you for doing this and coming by and everything. This was really awesome.
Thanks, Rob.
And, you know, thanks for giving me your time, you know. It was, this was really cool. And I'll definitely have to have you on it again for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.